It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Gene Purcell, in for Rob Ferret. In the midst of final exams, it turns out that the mumps is hitting college communities across Wisconsin.
Four new cases have been reported in Milwaukee, two of them on the UW-Milwaukee campus, along with several new cases at the UW-Madison, bringing the total count to 27 statewide so far this spring.
University Health Services epidemiologist Craig Roberts joins us now for an update on the mumps outbreak and how to avoid it. Craig is also a clinical assistant professor in the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. Welcome to Central Time, Craig.
Thanks, Gene.
I want a little bit of a history lesson here, because when I was a kid back in the 60s, all of my classmates got the mumps, and then they kind of went away for a while, and now they're popping back up in college kids. What's going on?
All right. That was my experience, too, since we're almost the same age.
Mm-hmm.
The mumps vaccine came on the market in the late 60s and probably wasn't in universal use until well into the 80s before it became sort of every kid was getting that vaccine and had really good coverage. And now we see college students who've all, for the most part, had the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine. Unfortunately, the mumps component of the vaccine is not always 100% efficacious. And so what happens 20 years later is some of those students and other young adults develop waning immunity. So they basically are no longer protected. And given an exposure, they can become infected and develop disease.
Is there a way that as you look at the course of this that you can sort of predict what's going to happen, or do these upticks kind of come out of nowhere?
Well, mumps is a pretty uncommon disease these days,
but
we do tend to see large outbreaks happening. In 2006, there was a very large outbreak in the Midwest that started in Iowa and included cases in Minnesota and Wisconsin as well. And then this year, we've seen cases at Ohio State, at Fordham University in New York, as well as other schools around Wisconsin. So at UW-Madison, we actually went several years without seeing a single case until this spring.
And so 27 cases is the number I heard for statewide right now. Is that a number that we should be concerned about, or is this just sort of an interesting story?
That's an interesting question, because how many is too many is sort of where we are. Mumps is not a pleasant disease to have for most people, and so it has the potential for some uncomfortable complications. In most adults, it's going to be a self-limiting illness, but we'd rather see that number be zero. And the most recent update, it looks like there are actually now 30 cases statewide as of this afternoon. There will be an update coming from the Division of Public Health later today, I believe.
So let's talk a little bit about how it spreads. Based on my experience in second grade back in the day, it spreads pretty easily, as I recall.
It's a relatively infectious, contagious disease. So it's sort of similar to something like the flu or other respiratory illnesses, spread by coughing, sneezing, exposure to saliva, respiratory droplets, that sort of thing.
Almost like just being in the room with somebody can be enough sometimes.
Well, probably more than just being in the same room, but being in close physical contact with that person. Typically, we think about a 3-foot kind of range with these kind of illnesses, respiratory viruses.
And so given all of that, what could a typical young person do if they are in a college situation? There's a lot of classroom, there's a lot of hallways, there's a lot of after-hours activities. How do you take care of yourself?
There's two things that are very important, particularly for mumps. One is the general advice we give to trying to prevent all sort of respiratory illness and influenza and colds and cough and all those other sort of thing, which is pay careful attention to careful hand washing. After you use the bathroom, after coughing or sneezing, cough into your elbow rather than your hand. Avoid people who are coughing in your face, that sort of thing. We call good respiratory hygiene. And then the second thing is to make sure that your immunizations are current. For this particular disease in particular, every person who's in college these days and all adolescents, everyone who's in kindergarten through high school needs to have 2 doses of the MMR vaccine. And that also applies to anyone who's working in a healthcare setting.
So is it a good idea to get revaccinated?
Not at this time. There's no recommendation for a third dose, and that's actually kind of important to know because there's no evidence that really does anything. We can't really predict who is at risk of developing mumps once they've been immunized with the 2 doses. It's sort of a random shot in terms of who might be out there that's now susceptible.
So, yeah, you talked about sort of the waning influence of some of these vaccines. So people should just assume that it could be happening to them and take the appropriate precautions?
Well, we know even in this population, probably 85 to 90% of those students are protected and covered if they had their two doses in childhood. So the vast majority of people who had two doses are fine, and they don't have to worry about anything. And again, the other 10 to 15% are people we simply aren't going to know about. And there are still some people out there in this age group, in this population, who have only had one dose for whatever reason. And so those are the people that we're trying to get in touch with. We sent out a mass email to all of our students. I believe Milwaukee has done the same thing, really trying to make people to check their records, find out if they're behind in their immunizations, and to catch up.
And we've been focusing a lot on college campuses here because that's sort of where you've been seeing the upticks, as I understand it. What about other young people who may be somewhere else, not necessarily on a college campus? I'm guessing that they should be aware of this too.
Right. This is not a unique problem with college students. We've seen cases in Wisconsin now. We've seen other cases in other young adults. The median age of our cases in Wisconsin right now is of the first 27 cases is 22 years of age. So it is this outbreak appears to very much be a young adult phenomena.
So remind me what the symptoms of the mumps are and what they'll feel like to somebody who might be getting them and what they ought to do if they think that they may have been exposed, that they may be getting them.
Sure. The classic finding with mumps that everybody thinks about is sort of the chipmunk appearance. And that's caused by the swelling or inflammation of one of the salivary glands, the parotid gland that's typically it's located in front of the ear and above the last molar. So the classic mumps, that gland swells up, is painful and sore. That's usually preceded by several days of general viral kind of illness with sore throat, headache, fatigue, fever. Those are very common symptoms as well. And then sometimes some neck pain, lymph node swelling would be the other typical things that people get. With this outbreak, I should note that a lot of people don't get those classic large swollen cheeks. And there seems to be a milder illness in many of our students that have been confirmed to have a mumps viral illness. And we think that's because of their prior immunization that they may have just some, they're not as well covered as they could be, so their illness is a little milder.
So do you go to the doctor? Do you just suffer at home?
Sure. So if you think you might be coming down with mumps, particularly if you have swelling of your salivary glands and pain or tenderness in your jaw, that's an important time to go see your provider. And you can actually get tested for this. There's a specific swab we take from the cheek that will tell us if it's a mumps virus. And it's important for healthcare providers to know, and our health departments have been working to get the word out about that, that that is the best test to use for diagnosing people with a possible mumps illness. So the blood test, there is a blood test that is not actually very reliable anymore for diagnosing mumps in people who have been previously immunized.
So we don't know exactly how this year is going to turn out, but as you look down the road a year or two or three, were there changes in vaccines or anything like that, or do we expect this to pop up again in future years in people at about the same age?
I think we'll continue to see outbreaks showing up occasionally, probably every few years in people of this age, even in a well-immunized population. That's sort of different than measles, which most of the measles cases that are occurring in the world and in the United States right now are in people who have not had that vaccine. But mumps, even in a well-immunized population, we probably will continue to see outbreaks and cases, probably going more in waves. That is, we may go a couple years without any and then have outbreaks like we're seeing this year.
And finally, the last question, what about kids who may not have gotten the mumps back in the 60s and are now adults in their 50s or 60s, do they need to be concerned about this?
Well, they could be. Mumps disease was an almost universal phenomena in kids back in the 60s and even into the 70s. But there probably are a proportion of people who may not have been immunized and may have escaped natural infection if they were born in the late 60s or 70s. As the population, more and more kids were getting immunized and the incidence of the disease was decreasing during that time frame. So some of those people may be susceptible also. So there is a guideline that all adults should have at least one dose. The two-dose recommendation, again, is in place for people who are in school, K through 12, or college students and healthcare workers.
All right, great. Well, Craig, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We've been talking with Craig Roberts, an epidemiologist with University Health Services and a clinical assistant professor in the School of Medicine and Public Health, both at the UW-Madison. He specializes in infectious disease epidemiology, and he also serves as the chair of the Emerging Public Health Threats and Emergency Response Coalition of the American College Health Association.